Hello, everyone. Welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. As always, it is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's frontman and main host, and welcome to our first episode of 2018. That's right. If you're listening to this on January the 1st, 2018, welcome to the new year. Hope you had a great celebratory night at the end of the year last year, and you made it home safe and sound. As much as I want to continue this excitement for the new year with hopes, with a lot of great things to come for the show in 2018, I come to you today, this week, with a heavy, heavy heart. That, why? Well, because in early part of December, we lost a legend in his own right, and that person being Conrad Brooks. If you are not really familiar with this gentleman, let me fill you in before I give you some memories of me meeting this gentleman and the interview we did back in 2015. Conrad Brooks is mainly known for a lot of B-movies. He was the man in the 50s used by legendary B-filmmaker Ed Wood. And Conrad lived in this, believe it or not, in the Berkeley County area for a decent many years. As long as I've pretty much lived in the Martinsburg, Inwood, Berkeley County area, I've been hearing word about Mr. Brooks being in this area, not really knowing he was here, but he was here. And after, I believe, he starred in a lot of Ed Wood movies, he did a lot of other B-movies and low-budget films. If you don't recognize a lot of his films, don't worry. The most popular Ed Wood movie I think he's been known for is the original Plan 9 from Outer Space, and or as most people have called it, Plan 9. But in recent years, I think within the past year or two, there was a remake of Plan 9 from Outer Space, or Plan 9, done by Virginia filmmaker John Johnson, and put out by several others with Conrad Brooks' blessing. And it was a very good remake, and Conrad Brooks did make an appearance in this remake. And both movies are great in their own right, but I'm not here to review Plan 9 from Outer Space, the remake. I'm here to remember Conrad Brooks, who, again, passed away this December 2017. And like I said, he was a wonderful man to meet. I'm going to include the interview we did back in 2015. I know it seems cliche and kind of a rerun, but a lot of you probably did not hear that interview. And like I said, he's done a lot of movies. He's also in 94 when Hollywood did a kind of a biography type of deal based on Ed Wood. Conrad Brooks played the bartender in that. Plus, he did a lot of he directed a lot of his own B movies in the area. Oddly enough, I'm sure you could find a lot of his movies to search around. You could probably find them on eBay, Amazon, and probably a lot of places where video on demand is there. But I don't know. Don't quote me on it. So I'm going to step back before I give my remembrances back when I first met Mr. Brooks personally many years ago. I'm going to play for you that interview right now.
Hey folks, I'm back. I'm here with Mr.
Conrad Brooks, the guy who did quite a few bad films in Hollywood. And also, I'm working on some good ones.
And what movie are you best known for? What, the Ed Wood's movie Plan 9?
Yeah, I did a film called Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is considered the worst film of all times. But now, People love it. It's famous now. It grossed into millions of dollars. It's a low-budget film. We made the film back in 1956. Ed Wood directed it. And now Walt Disney, Tim Burton, produced a film called Ed Wood, starring Johnny Depp. I'm in the film also. Martin Landau, who played Bela Lugosi, in the film as well. So it's a great little film, and Martin Landau won the Academy Award for playing Bela Lugosi in the Ed Wood film. Tim Burton directed it and put out by Walt Disney. It's a great little film. And it's based on Ed Wood, who did Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Not only have you known for acting movies, a lot of Ed Wood movies,
yes,
you've done a lot of movies yourself. What have you done?
Oh, I've done over 200 films in Hollywood. Now, of course, with Ed Wood, I did Sinister Urge, Bride of the Monster, and what else did I do? You know, I'm 85, you forget certain things. Glenn O'Glenda, my first film with Ed Wood, 1952. And great stuff, great stuff. I've been in Hollywood for 55 years. I'm living here in West Virginia now. And I'm producing my own films here now. And I'm producing independent films. And you can contact me, my P.O. Box, okay, with the P.O. Box?
Yeah.
264 Inwood, West Virginia, and the zip code 25428. And contact me, send me a money order, or personal check will be fine. And I've made these films, any of the films I appeared in, Misfit Patrol, Little Old Sea Serpent, for other motion picture directors. But actually, you can contact me. Be good to hear from you. And let's see, what else? What else we got to talk about? Early in the morning now. I'm here at the mall. And so I'm only for one day.
Wonder Expo.
Yeah, good. I'm here from 12 to 4, and then I'm out of here.
Do you see, with a lot of the independent filmmakers, again, like yourself, do you see that being a resurgence nowadays with...
I tell you, yeah, why not? I mean, if you're interested in doing something, do it, you know. Bad or good, you know, do it. If it's in your heart to do it, you know.
So you encourage a lot of the younger artists?
Why not? If you're capable and got a couple of bucks, do it. Hey, enjoy it. You know, that's the important thing, you know.
If he was alive today, would Ed Wood be considered an indie filmmaker or still?
Well, probably, yeah, more or less, I would think so. You know, today, it's a lot of independent stuff being shot today. Years ago, Paramount, Monogram, Warner Brothers, they would produce the films and release it through their companies. And now, a lot of films are being made, like you say, independent stuff, and being released by other distributors, you know. I don't recall who, you know. I occasionally do work in films, you know, my age. Have you got a job for me? Look me up. Write me a letter.
Do you find it's easier for an independent maker to make a movie now than it has been a couple of years ago?
I won't say easy. Nothing's easy, you know. But the only thing is, make sure you got a decent script. That's the most important thing. Have a decent script. And trying to get some actors with a name, you know, if you can afford it, you know. Or work a deal out with them, you know.
So you've been to a lot of... I noticed that you have a Chiller Theater badge on you right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chiller in New York. Actually, New Jersey. And I did the Monster Bash in Pittsburgh just recently. And I did the one in Baltimore, Hunt Valley, where we did the show. It's called...
Was it Horrifying? Or is it under a different name now?
Let me think. You caught me off guard early in the morning, kid. Mid-Atlantic.
Mid-Atlantic?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have fun going to these shows? And
yeah, I meet the fans. People remember me from watching these movies I'm in. Yeah, it's always nice to meet people that remember you, you know. It brings back a lot of good memories, you know.
So, what else can I ask? A legend of
whatever you, whatever you want to ask me, kid.
What are some of your memories working in the film industry way back in the early days?
Oh, just about everything, you know. But the memory, I got a good memory.
Is there anything you could share with us in regards to those?
Like what? Give me an example.
Whatever you wish.
You're a fan. What do you want to know? You're representing your company.
All right, with Plan 9, because that's the most...
Plan 9, yes. Well, actually, yeah, but of course I remember doing Plan 9. I was 5 days on the show, and I remember I only got $500. Now, $500, and that was big money in those days, because I remember my rent was only $35. My phone bill was $3. You can buy a steak dinner for $2.95, $4.95. Nowadays, you buy a steak dinner, it's like a bone practically, and costs you $40-$50. You know, it's crazy.
So the shooting schedule for Plan 9 was only about 5 days?
Low budget.
As compared to like a 30-day shoot nowadays, or?
Well, 30 days, yeah, it costs you a lot of money now. So you got to remember, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Ed Wood spent about, I could be wrong, you know. I never consulted him. I was just an actor. I didn't care what the picture cost, whether it cost $30,000 or $20,000. I wasn't interested because I didn't have that kind of money to worry about. I think he spent around 25,000.
Which by today would be about $100,000
or more. More, yeah. I mean, now to shoot a third film, you know, 35 millimeter, it's not cheap, you know.
No. Yeah, everything now is, how do you, speaking of going from actually 35 millimeter to digital, what do you...
It's cheaper.
Cheaper.
I imagine it's cheaper. I don't know, you know. Who knows? You know.
So,
I produce my films on video, you know. we call it Gypsy Vampire. Gypsy Vampire, Jungle, the Beast from the East. That's a great one.
And, well, we have a couple of things that we got to do in reference to the show. It's been great interviewing you.
Are you going to leave me?
If you want me to hang out for a little while, I can come back.
Yeah, come back. Well, I like you, Chris. I mean, I like doing your show, man. Yeah, come back anytime, Chris.
Okay, just in case I don't swing by.
And we're back. That was our interview we did with Mr. Brooks back in 2015. And that's when the mall in our area, the Martinsburg Mall, was trying to do a pop culture show in their the mall, and it failed miserably. But if you want to hear about that, just go back into our archives 2 years ago, November. It was roughly early November 2015. I welcome you to go back and download that episode as well as the review our angry review in regards to that. Now back to remembering Mr. Brooks. As you hear, he was a very nice guy, very sweet man. I first met Mr. Brooks and got in contact with him way back. I want to say it was roughly 2008-ish. Because me and Big Candy back then were thinking of doing our own convention, and not so much like Matt Burns does, but we had an idea of doing it, and everything kind of fell through, and we didn't really know where to begin and what to do. We had, one of those things, we had a general idea, and we figured, we heard rumors that Mr. Brooks was in the area, and we figured, hey, Mr. Brooks is in the area. He's been to a few cons. Get in touch with him. See how his view from different cons were, and so forth and so on. And I met up with him at one of the local, if not one of the many Waffle Houses in the area. We had breakfast and chatted wonderfully about how conventions are done. I picked up a few DVDs off of him, and we had another meetup maybe about a month or so later. When things were moving away from having a convention in the Winchester area, because things kind of fell through, we figured kind of do a film festival in our area, and we were leaning towards doing that, maybe getting Mr. John Johnson into part of this to show off some of his films and show off a few others and getting some vendors in the area. But one of the things, it was just back and forth talking to Mr. Brooks. Again, he was a very sweet, sweet man. But one of the things that I found out about Mr. Brooks is just that since then, those instances, I would get almost like a phone call from him every few days or to a week for a couple months after that, especially after everything kind of fell through with trying to do or figuring out where to get a film to do this film festival, because no one really wanted to touch, if I remember correctly, touch or do a film festival, and things just fell through. And I'm not saying Mr. Brooks was anyway a pest, just that he was a sweet man. He just, I don't want to say lonely. He is very sweet, very great man. He did a lot of his own stuff. One of the tales I remember, someone might have met him at a con. I am not going to mention her name because it might cause some drama in the community of podcasters I am part of. And so I'm going to step away with that. From that, it was back in her earlier in her modeling days, she said she met Mr. Brooks, and from remember it was that she just got a weird vibe from him, and I don't know, it's because she had a tendency to be very scantily clad a lot of times, and she met him at, I think, one of the horror finds in the Baltimore area, if not the Cherry Hill area. This was not Monster Mania. Horrifying kind of did what Monster Mania did, have one in Cherry Hill and one in outside of Baltimore, but or something like that. They had their con in two different locations, or I should say twice a year, and she met him in like the Baltimore area convention, and she's pretty much had the same reaction, that he was a very sweet fellow. Just that every now and again she got an odd vibe from him, that he just wanted to hang with everybody, and he was very friendly. That's what he was. He was very friendly, and I got to meet him, I want to say 2014, maybe early 2015, I don't know. In around the late 2013, early 2015 era, he did a promotional thing at a used DVD store that was here in the area. I only managed to stop by there at their opening to meet Mr. Brooks. I got a few things signed from Mr. Brooks, as I did in the Pop Culture Show back in 2015. I think I got Plan 9 signed by him. As I spoke with him, and I think it might have been in this interview, that that store closed down because of it was a bad location. But again, as you heard, he was a very sweet fellow, very friendly fellow. Just that he, I'm not knocking him or anything like that, or knocking his memory. Just that there are times where he seemed like he wanted to hang with a lot of people, and at times it felt, I don't want to say annoying, but at all. But he was a very sweet fellow. I cannot say anything bad about him or knock his memory. He's been, not only did he, I want to say this, he not only did appear in the Plan 9 remake, he did his own movies. He also appeared in several of John Johnson's films, namely the Skeleton Key trilogy, or I should say the laughingly Skeleton Key trilogy by John Johnson. He did all four intros for it. If you want to see those intros, feel free to wander to the Darkstone Entertainment Facebook, I think it's a Facebook page or Facebook group, and there is a memorial picture set and video set up for Mr. Brooks there. Again, there has been a lot of stories of how Mr. Brooks has helped filmmakers and was just this all-around sweetest, nicest guy, which he was, especially since I met him. He gave me a lot of information, or at least some information behind the scenes for conventions. I know the failed convention I went to back in, again, 2008, there was supposed to be another one later that year, put on by the same promoter, and what the confusion was is I got to speak to, this was the second time I actually met up with and spoke to Mr. Brooks, and what happened was with the second convention, Mr. Brooks was going to be a part of this gentleman's show, and the issue was the fact that the show was going to be in, again, in Hagerstown, and, but according to this man's, this gentleman's, not Conrad Brooks, please, let me specify that. According to this man's event page, this was, again, back in the days of MySpace, or early days of Facebook, that the event was, at one point, would say Hagerstown, another day, sometimes a week later, or day to a week later, it would say in, like, Richmond, Virginia. Then it'll go back to Hagerstown, then back to Richmond. Now, when the day finally came, the location said Hagerstown, and this was just right outside of where the Hagerstown Mall was, pretty much right across the street from, I believe, the Buffalo Wild Wings up there, and I went up to see the con, meet up with Mr. Brooks, and probably hang out with him for a little while and chat with him, and at that time, I think me and Big Candy were doing the Electric Eye. I might have even tried to get an interview with Mr. Brooks, and the thing is, no con was, or convention or any event was being held at this location, at this hotel. And when I asked the clerks behind the desk about this event, they had no clue. And I think within about 2 to 3 days later, I spoke to Mr. Brooks about, you know, everything that it did. He go to the event, and he said no. He managed to get a phone call from this promoter and said, asking Mr. Brooks where he's at, and he said, I'm at my home in, you know, in Inwood, and he said, I inquired about your event in Hagerstown, and like me, he said, you weren't there. He said, but I'm expected you here in Richmond, in the Richmond area. He said, really? And this, again, this was when I spoke to Mr. Brooks, and I said, yeah, when I inquired about the event this past, you know, Friday night, I called my buddy, you know, at my place, because Big Candy was living with me at the time, and he got on the computer and checked the event, and sure enough, it said Hagerstown, not Richmond. And he said, well, yeah, that's what, you know, Miss Brooks pretty much told me. It's like, yeah, if it was in Hagerstown, I would have showed up. You know, meaning Mr. Brooks would have. And he said he got a bad vibe from this, pretty much this promoter that, again, this was not Matt Burns. Matt Burns is a great promoter, and he has an event coming up this March. Now, and we just kind of laughed about this person's attempt. Not Matt again. Separating Matt Burns from this. At this time, this was again back in 08, long before I knew Matt Burns and everything else, and before the Long Coat Mafia podcast was a twinkle in my eye. So we kind of laughed and kind of discussed this man's, you know, policies, and he said he just got that idea that even he said he knew one of the other people that was supposed to show up at this show, and they went up to it, and it was very sketchy. He found the person that actually showed up said it was very sketchy. So, and we kind of laughed and kind of, I told him my experiences at the one event earlier that year, and he said, yeah, it kind of sounds like this gentleman, and my get, you know, it was just back and forth. I don't remember exactly what was said. It was just another meet-up with this great gentleman, this nice gentleman, Conrad Brooks, at a Waffle House having their, I think it was a breakfast at the time. So I'm kind of rambling. Again, God rest Mr. Brooks' soul. He will be remembered in the community at large for doing what he did best, entertaining many who loved the B-movie genre, and providing hours upon hours of great entertainment and loads of great experience and memories to those whom he worked with in the industry. There was at no point did I got any ill will from this gentleman in the entire time I've met him, spent time with him, or have known him. So, again, if you have met Mr. Brooks in the past, I would love to hear your experiences with Mr. Brooks by emailing us at longcoatmafia.podbean.com. My bad. Let me rephrase that. It's been a long weekend. I've been celebrating too hard. Let me please rephrase that. You could contact us by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and tell us what your memories of Mr. Brooks were when you met him, and where did you meet him at the time. Or if you want, when I post this episode up, you can leave a comment down below, or you could message us at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And there, while you're there, you can like our page and follow us. So, and as well, you can listen to all our podcasts, all our previous episodes. Like I said, the original episode where the interview was recorded and our thoughts on that particular convention, meeting Conrad Brooks and the other guests notwithstanding, at our main page, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. As always, you can listen to us on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, depending on the device you're listening on, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, as well as possibly soon Spotify. We did put in at the end of the year for to be streamed on Spotify as well. Hopefully within the next few weeks we do get a response from Spotify. If not, it was automatic through Podbean. So either way, hope that goes through. Fingers are crossed. So as well as if you care to stalk us, we do have a Instagram account, which is longcoatmafia.com/longcoatmafia, or use your phone's app. Or if you want, you can follow us, like and follow us on Twitter, and the handle is also longcoatmafia. So you can follow us there. What else? I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but please stay tuned. Oh yes, we do have a YouTube channel. A lot of our podcasts do get posted up there as well. So stay tuned. I hope you had a wonderful New Year's Eve and you got home safely and everything else. And please listen, interact. We'd love to hear from you. We will read your emails on air and everything else. So take care. See you next week. Have fun. And ta-ta for now.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.